Portions of this program brought to you by Codify Design Studio, specializing in graphic design across print, web, and mobile devices. Visit CodifyDesign.com. That's CodifyDesign.com.
What's the name of the club? I can't remember, but it's alright, alright. Just dance, gonna be okay. Just do, just dance.
Back inside my Fix It Up Life with my husband, Mark.
And my wife, Teresa. Hello, hello.
Hello, dear. That was a good break.
Yeah, it was good. You did a good job.
Thank you. I'm good at breaking, drinking some coffee, relaxing after the holiday.
Today's coffee provided by my $10 bill.
That's true.
That I paid for the coffee with.
It's very, very true. We have a special caller on the line, Christopher Lowell, who is going to help us walk through a post-holiday purge. And I'm so excited. He's currently on a show on the Fine Living Networks. And it's called Work That Room. I think we need to work our whole house.
Yeah. Christopher, help immediately.
Hi, Christopher. How are you?
Good. Happy holidays to you.
Oh, happy holidays to you, too.
Yeah. Thank ho, you. Ho, ho, and there you go.
That's
there
Mark's
go.
New, yeah, it's Mark's new phrase he came up with for the holidays.
Oh, it sounds like he's done it one or two times before.
Yeah.
There you
yeah.
go.
Yeah, he has. So I am so excited to talk to you.
Thank you.
Watching you on TV for, I don't know,
ever.
Long. Yeah.
Yeah.
Forever. And
yeah, we were on before there was even an HGTV, you know?
Yes.
That's
yeah.
a long time ago.
Well, I've told this story about you. You probably haven't heard about it yet. But when I was a contractor, I used to come home from on my jobs or going. I lived between most of my jobs in the lumberyard, and I would come home and watch TV, and I caught you on the Discovery Channel who knows how long ago, and I watched the show and thought, I got to be honest with you, the particular show wasn't that interesting to me, but you were the world's most captivating person. I watched the whole thing.
Well, you know, one of our goals when we debuted the show was it should be entertaining with the sound off, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So at that time, you know, we were in a very similar time as we are today. There was a lot of political stuff going on. We were in the middle of a baby boom. Me and Martha kind of went on the air sort of at the same time. Martha was really sort of tackling the more settled, more upper middle class, affluent woman with time in her hands.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really tackling what I thought would become the norm, which really was the working, stressed out working woman who had, you know, gone to work at that time, kind of hit the glass ceiling, was frustrated, so they decided they'd come home and start their family.
Right.
Only to, you know, be beaten up by the feminists who said, why didn't you stay in the workplace?
Mm.
And then, you know, there was the affluent neighborhood housewife saying, what do you mean you're going to have a kid and go back to work? But we knew with all the studies that we'd done prior to coming on TV in the late 90s that we would get to a point where, you know, hyper-tasking dual-income families would be the norm. So we started out from the very beginning that way. And why people like you watch the show is because we never bashed the guys, because we said one day the guys are going to be hugely in the mix. And here we are, you know, 10 or 15 years later, and for the first time in the history of our planet, in the American home, it's all co-partner decisions now.
Hmm.
Wow.
That is so true, though.
Wow. You just did my entire interview for me. We watched Work That Room to bring it more current, although
yes.
If you say Christopher Lowell,
you just know Christopher Lowell.
Any number of like 175 shows. I mean, how many shows have you done?
We've done six television series up to this point. I'm probably the only person outside of Martha. Well, no, actually, I beat Martha because she started on PBS, who's been on a network or cable television show consecutively for 15 years.
Wow.
Now, okay, here's
no pressure, right?
Here's a lame-o question. Did you invent the category of, you know, design at home on TV?
Well, there were a lot of local kind of crepe paper and pipe cleaner shows, but nobody had ever talked about self-esteem, made it funny and fun to watch. And I'll tell you where I got my inspiration. One evening, I was watching the sitcom Home Improvement with Tim Allen, and I was watching Martha Stewart at the same time. And I flipped back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and I said, that's it. It's the blend of those two things, you know?
Wow.
Wow.
Even though that in itself is an insight, not everyone could pull it off. So now I'm just going to compliment you for the remaining, whatever, 4 minutes we have left in this interview.
Well, the reality of it was, you know, once I had that in my mind, I opened up a decorative home art shop as a precursor to the show.
Okay.
And in 3 years, we graduated 3,000 men and women through courses. We shot 2,200 hours of documentary footage. And when we went to edit the footage for a documentary special on creativity, we realized that we had amassed footage of people literally and physically transforming in front of our eyes due to confidence, getting busy, and getting in touch with that very elusive thing called personal creativity. Once that happened, then I said to myself, okay, now it's time to go to television with it. And we really had to fight hard to invent the genre. And then, you know, God bless us, within the first 3 months, we were the highest rated show on the Discovery Channel because we were telling the truth. And we were really saying, look, it's not about the sofa. It's about your attitude about the sofa. What people don't realize in interior design is it's not just about making rooms look pretty for Architectural Digest. When we decide and then redecide how we're going to live, everything comes up for review. And it becomes deeply personal because we don't want to emulate the life our parents had. We don't want to make the same mistakes we did before. But in order for us to create a home that's going to work for us, we have to ask ourselves the tough questions. Do I use that dining room table or is that a waste of space? You know, as it begins, who am I? Do I like calm colors or warm colors? And while it all sounds like design choices, really what we're doing is redefining ourselves. Now here we are in the middle of a recession with a brand new political power in the middle of another baby boom. And so America is beginning to realize that 50% of what they own, they don't use, and they better purge.
You are so speaking to me. Like, it's like you're just talking to me. It's so true, because we have so many things that we're trying to get rid of.
Yeah,
that we just, you know, keep.
Teresa and I are just sitting here smiling.
We are.
Right now.
Yeah.
Like, get to the part where we're having dinner. You know, and we can have this whole conversation for, like, hours on end. We're just floored right now.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, one of the things that me and my organization does that many other interior design firms don't do is they study a lot of what's happening in design. We could care less about that because we don't have to live in these houses. Our job is to expose you to materials that if you drag them into your house in the hands of a novice, you can't make a mistake. That's our job. Mm-hmm. So we never dictate taste, nor do you see our makeovers, you know, in a lot of the fancy magazines because it doesn't serve you. Our goal is to get... is to help you align with a very powerful principle, which is the reason I even came into the field. I realized in teaching for 3 years, 3,000 people, and looking at their homes, that the mental interior and the physical interior always matched. And if you changed one of those counterparts, the other changed too. So by redefining your life using your home as your creative incubator...
Right.
This gets you back in touch with that personal creativity. Now, a lot of people, especially the American culture, who are so fickle about celebrities, we tend to confuse talent with creativity. You know what? Talent is between you, God, and your DNA, you know?
Right.
Personal creativity is inherent. It's like breathing. Unfortunately, because we doubt ourselves and we are so afraid to be embarrassed, not risk, and go through judgment, that personal creativity gets pushed down and pushed down. And yet we exercise it every day. I mean, I used to tell women on the air, if you can do your hair, put a full face of makeup on, get dressed and drive in busy traffic, you are so overqualified to design a room.
You should be on TV.
Yeah, you should be. It's a good idea, Mark.
But where does Christopher Lowell come from? Like, were your parents in the game? Were they nuclear physicists?
Yes, they were, and because they were, I ran the entire opposite direction, but then came back around. My father was a master joiner, considered the number one master joiner in the United States. He helped restore Williamsburg, the Mayflower, and Strawberry Bank up in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and was written up in Yankee Magazine. On the decorative side, my grandmother invented the very first Williamsburg colors for Pratt & Lambert.
Wow.
So we were always, but they were in the restoration business, okay?
Now, can I interrupt you just for 1 second for our listeners? The union, the Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners, people have heard of, but maybe aren't sure exactly what a joiner is.
A joiner is a person who, a real joiner is a person who will do 200 or 300 cuts on two pieces of wood, and they fit together perfectly without the use of nails. Big paneled walls, raised panels, crown moldings made from scratch.
Sure, cornices.
All of that is considered, it's really the decorative portion of the building process. So, my father would come out of his workshop smelling like wooden sawdust. So every time I have that smell, it takes me back to my childhood. Mm. I decided not to go that direction. I decided I was much more involved in the arts. So I went into theater, and lo and behold, for the next 15 years, I was a set designer for a lot of big Broadway shows.
Okay.
I came all the way back around again, opened up an advertising agency, started doing TV, directing and producing television commercials, primarily for women's products, and kind of started getting corporate burnout, and I always wanted to get back to my original theory about personal creativity. So I finally said, you know what? I got to start this thing. And so I was not necessarily looking at home design, but then I started watching people like Martha and some of these local shows and the Tim Allen show and that kind of a thing. And I said, you know, there's so much conflicting information. So I spent the next 3 years with the shop teaching, listening, playing basically the psychiatrist, trying to figure out what people's relationship with their things were. So by the time we came to television, it was probably the most research and development ever put behind a television series. Of course, the networks did not understand it at all. We fought like crazy to get it on the air. But here we are, 15 years later.
That's amazing that looking back, that anyone would fight to get you on television. not want you to be on TV. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, I'm surprised they weren't fighting for you.
Let me give you even a more complicated example. We had rigged my entire shop to shoot the entire TV series on location, nestled beside a waterfall in Chagrin Falls, Ohio. Oh. Okay? That's where all the stories were happening, because we were doing people's funerals, people's marriages, people's engagements. We were decorating their homes, their second homes, their third homes. We became the epicenter. And what I wanted to do, had it gone on the air the way I wanted it to, it would have been the very first reality series ever on television. But networks weren't ready. They're always about 10 years behind.
Oh, wow.
Wow. They're 10 years behind you. I'm about 10 years behind them.
We may have a chance to do it again. I just recently moved to Santa Fe, New Mexico. We're about to open up Christopher Lowell's, which is a design clinic making lifestyle coaching and interior design available to anybody, no matter what their income. And we're hoping to develop an entire television series around it. So sometimes you can't go home again,
Unbelievable.
That sounds really interesting.
That's intriguing. And can people find out about that at ChristopherLowell.com?
We are always launching all sorts of very interesting information that we can't necessarily put out of the airwaves, but we can put on the website and in my blog. Just go to ChristopherLowell.com. It's just a whole world there of great ideas and more importantly, inspiration and motivation, which is, I think, the key.
Well, and speaking to that, I've been reading about your seven layers of design.
Yeah.
And how did you even come? I have seen over the years, and I went to architecture school, and we always had to have, like a thing that you based your design
right.
on, your parti or whatever it is, and not to look at it in sort of this kind of practical, reasonable approach
right.
for anybody.
This
to
coffee
do.
Cup.
Well, the reason
fantastic.
Why we spent 3 years before we came on television is teaching, graduating, and listening to male, females, and couples together over 3 years, that little town of Chagrin Falls, God bless them, they helped me design the seven layers of design. So by the time I came on television, that book was already in the works. And the very first thing out of my mouth was, A, where there is fear, there is no creativity. And guess what? I've got a system. And that's how it started. And that book is still, I think it's in its 15th printing now.
Wow.
And the title is The Seven Layers of Design?
Yes, Christopher Lowell's Seven Layers of Design.
Awesome.
And it really is such a practical approach that anyone can use to, decorate their space. I mean, it really does make it, you break it down and make it so much easier for everyone.
Well, what we found was it wasn't, people get bombarded by the choices that you make. What the seven layers does is not only keeps you on budget, but it keeps you out of emotional overwhelm.
Mm.
So as you graduate through each one of these layers, if you start having an anxiety attack, you turn the page and we say, I hope you're having an anxiety attack right now because this is where you'll freak out.
I love that.
It was also one of the first books that first shelter books on home improvement that people actually read word for word, which was very important to us.
Don't just
look at the pictures. Now we've done it again for the seven layers of organization, anticipating America's need to finally purge. They're about 5 years late, but a lot of people who are trying to downsize are having separation anxiety, and yet they don't know how to walk through their home as a perfect stranger and show themselves that, you know, their homes have gotten out of control.
What a great insight.
Well,
walk through your own house as a perfect stranger.
Absolutely.
What other people see, that's brilliant.
That's layer number one. We tell you, pretend you don't know who lives here. Get out a pencil and paper. We want you to ransack your house. That's the first day. We want you to open up every drawer. Get up on a ladder, look in that closet on top of the shelf in that closet. Get up in your attic and down in your basement. By the time you get back to your front door again, you're laughing because you realize you own things, A, you didn't even know you owned, but you kept them because you couldn't make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're ready to go to that next phase, and this book takes you all the way through. It's a very personal book. It talks about why we hoard. I identify 17 different types of hoarders. We are all a little mix of all of those people.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what happened. About seven years ago, I think it was, suddenly you were seeing fabulous decorative containers popping up everywhere. There was a hold everything store, and suddenly everybody bought these fabulous containers.
Mm-hmm.
But what they didn't realize that they were doing is they were buying these containers to put the crap they couldn't decide about, hide it, and stick it up on a shelf.
It's
so Americans were building their own landfill, and they didn't even know it.
Oh, my goodness. That is so true, though. It is absolutely so true. We have got containers in our house that have things that, you know, Mark has no idea what they are, you know.
Thank God.
Well, you're not alone.
Yeah. That unfortunately I do, and we do need to get rid of things too. So what are some, you know, besides that, you know, helping people get through there, you know, after the holidays, you have all this new stuff you're putting away.
Well, the very last layer of the layers of organization is really telling you, do not bring anything into the house that's in addition to, it must be instead of. Now, when you really think about that, that's pretty profound. But remember, that's the last layer. By the time you get there, you get it, you know? The reality of it is we will buy something that we think we need, and we don't think about why we want it. Oftentimes, we'll upgrade to something else, but we don't get rid of the downgraded merchandise.
Of course.
That's true.
You think?
Yeah. Save that TV.
Because we don't have the time, and we don't want to go through the thinking process, unfortunately. So we shove what we no longer want up into the attics or any place out of sight. And then we get this new groovy thing. And now we've got that plus the junk.
So what about the things that people have emotional attachments to, though? You don't really like the thing, but you love the person who gave it to you. That's really hard stuff to get rid of, especially if, you know, if it's a grandmother that's passed away or something.
You have to decide if you use it, if you like it, mm-hmm. and do you honor it.
Okay.
Now, I have my whole father's side of the family are very well known in the antiques business, okay? I inherited quite a few things from them as each one of them, as my father's relatives began to, you know, die. And some of them I hated. And yet, they expected them to see those things all over my home.
Mm.
So what I did was I got myself a museum-quality storage thing, and I put them all there.
There you go.
And I said, look, it's not my taste. I'm going to put them here, and I'm going to archive these things for you if they mean so much to you. And then over the years, as as my family expanded, and I would say, go to the storage bin, pick out what you'd like. And that's how we did it, and the rest of it I sold. The reality of it is, when you lose an emotional connection to an object, that is the time that you have to pay it forward to somebody who is in need of it.
That's
and, you know, with so many natural disasters we've had over the last couple of years, there are people out there who don't even have warm blankets. So let's, you know, and if you get out of your house, all the things that you don't use, suddenly you just picked up 50% footprint in your home. That's very motivating.
Now
for a lot
you're
of people,
talking.
For a lot of people who were going to upgrade to a grander house and no longer can,
right.
I say to them, you know, downsize is right-sizing.
Wow.
I like it.
Christopher, we are desperate to continue this conversation, and hopefully you'll rejoin us, but we have to downsize this phone call or we're going to get outsized the radio station.
I understand.
Oh, it was
such a
pleasure.
You have me back whenever you have a slot for me, okay?
Oh, we would love
Absolutely.
To.
Absolutely.
Such a pleasure.
Genuinely enjoyed having you.
Oh, we
Thank
genuinely
you
enjoy
much.
You, too. Thank you so much for sharing all of your wonderful, you know, everything that you've learned in the Seven Layers of Design organization, everything with us is so great. Thank
My
you.
My pleasure. Have a great holiday.
You, too.
Take care, and we'll be back in just a minute with more of My Fix It Up Life.
Just bam, it's gonna be okay.
Mark your calendars. My Fix It Up Life is the place to be for home improvement celebrities. If you want to know what's hot from their point of view, don't miss these upcoming My Fix It Up Life shows. Tune in December 26th when Christopher Lowell from Fine Living Network's Work That Room will be walking us through a post-holiday purge. And after the new year, we're getting help with our New Year's resolution to get more organized from DIY Network's Wasted Spaces Pro, Carl Champley, on January 2nd, and with Fit TV's Neat Professional Organizer Helen on January 9th. And Color Splash and HGTV design star David Romstad will be helping us navigate the world of color on January 23rd. Check out podcasts of My Fix It Up Life on iTunes and become a fan of the show on Facebook. Or follow us on Twitter to find out what's hot in home improvement during the week. And don't forget to enter to win cool gear and tools we're giving away every Saturday during My Fix It Up Life. My Fix It Up Life is what's next in home improvement entertainment.
I was walking down.
The Carpenter's Notebook, a novel about building a better life.
I reach for my tape measure more like a gunslinger going for his six-shooter than a timid, albeit middle-aged, apprentice afraid to do the wrong thing.
2 years after his father's death, Brendan leaves his daughters and collapsing marriage to fulfill a promise he made to his mother, and he discovers the answers he wasn't looking for that end up helping his own life. Inside a heartwarming love story with raw, hammer-swinging detail, author Mark Clement shares the story of a man who discovers his father's job site life lessons. Dean Johnson, co-host of Home Time, says, "Home improvement is a thread that runs through many of our lives. Mark has woven it into a rich and unique story." Brett Witter, publisher of Chicken Soup for the Soul, says a wonderful book about building both houses and relationships that is wise, touching, and as satisfying as a hard day's work well done. Like Chicken Soup for the Soul, it shows us that the greatest wisdom is built from the material of everyday life. Check out The Carpenter's Notebook by Mark Clement on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and at bookstores nationwide.